you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know
that it is okay, baby. We got your back covered. Hello, shoppers. Welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. We're live after a couple weeks of that pre-recorded stuff. Sure, you know, that really was the demise of radio when they figured out how to record a show for a DJ. And yeah, it's, I think radio has sort of taken a hit since then. But, and here I am talking about it. I pre-recorded my show for heaven's sakes. But now we're live this morning, just past 8 o'clock on a cold, chilly Saturday morning. How are you? Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year 2011. We're in it. My name is Johnny Wright. Thank you for tuning in to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. Hope you had a great holiday. Hope your 2011 is getting off to a rousing start. We have a rousing start to the show this morning, and hopefully a nice flourish at the end, I'm hoping. Troy from Cotman Auto Care. You'll be hearing from him coming up later on in the program. He is one of the heroes of a Secret Shopper review that I did of auto repair shops in Des Moines, 29 in all. Yeah, it's all about volume. And, you know, it's volume and quality, hopefully, in these reviews. And you'll hear from Troy. Also, Bob Jones, owner of R&J Home Center on Army Post Road. There's been a rash of trailer fires, mobile home fires, and the Des Moines Register did a extended piece on the safety of mobile homes, older mobile homes. And I grew up in a mobile home, wrote a post about it on my blog at theunsecretshopper.com. And Bob has been selling them and been around them longer than most of us have. He's going to talk a little bit about the safety and the difference in how mobile homes have become manufactured homes and modular homes, and they've changed a lot. And of course, you still have folks that are living in ones that are probably not terribly safe. And Bruce Anderson, General Counsel of the Iowa Auto Dealers Association, a friend of this program, a second timer, will be in to talk about customer service, the expectation that manufacturers of cars have versus the dealers themselves, and how those two can sometimes clash, and how service is also part of that whole dynamic of car dealers who had a pretty good 2010, and 2011 is looking pretty good. Your weather forecast is starting out looking pretty good, and then it kind of just falls by the wayside. Sunshine today, and it'll look deceptive. It's one thing I never liked about winter. You look out, you see that pretty sunshine, and then you step out and your skin freezes solid immediately. And it's like, okay, that looked nice, doesn't feel so good. But so today it's kind of along those lines, a high only of 17. And then tonight we drop down to a low of 5. And is there any real good reason to tell you what the wind chill will be? Nah, because, you know, 5, that's bad enough. And then the snow begins on Sunday. There's about a 20% chance right now we'll see the temperatures rise just a skosh up to 21. And that snow chance continues to 60% Sunday night. Then Monday, 90% chance of snow and 25. And it's, again, we know wintertime, temperature goes up, warm front approaches, full of moisture. That moisture hits the upper echelons of the atmosphere, freezes. It comes down in particles that you and I know as snowflakes. Yeah. And then like Tuesday night is when the snow will finally stop doing that stuff. So we could get 4 to 8 inches of snow is what they're predicting at this time. But there's no winter weather warnings or watches or any of that goop out there. It's just going to be a long period of time in which the snow will fall. And so hopefully, I'm thinking about 12 trips out to the driveway with a shovel over the next 3 days should take care of it. Right now, it is 10 degrees and it feels like 10. Auto repair. You and I will take our car to an auto repair shop about 6 times a year on average, say the experts, say the statistics. Yeah, you get your oil change, you got your tune-up, maybe throw some new treads on there. Now, how do you normally schedule all of that? What's your MO? Do you make a phone call to your local auto repair place, maybe the dealer where you bought the car? Okay, that's probably the way most of us still do it. Do you text? Some dealerships, some auto repair places now are using texting. Of course, we're on our cell phones all the time, do the text thing. Do you go online and visit that particular company's website and use their scheduling portal? Well, that's one of the ways. It may not be necessarily that common, but you still use it, and it is there, and it does get used. Well, that is the secret shopping conundrum in front of me last week. I thought, you know what? I'm going to secret shop car dealer service departments and auto repair shops throughout Des Moines, and there were 29 in all. And I think I hit most, not all, but most of the dealership service departments, and I hit a lot of the franchise auto repair specific places. I typically, if there were multiple locations, I tried to hit at least two of the overall, and then some mom-and-pop places to get a nice balance. Now, full disclosure, I do customer service training for a company called Westside Auto Pros in Clive. You probably heard their commercial run during this particular radio show if you've been listening. And we train very hard on every – I would say that I micromanage it. We all sort of do. And there's a staff, very dedicated staff, and I don't want this to be an ode to Westside. They do what they do, and I know how they do it because I'm there every day helping them do it, and they do it without my help even very well. But I want to talk about what the ideal or sort of perfect response is in my training world. I am a customer service trainer. I'm a professional secret shopper. I do this for a living. It's how I make my bread, baby. It's how I pay for these here headphones I'm wearing, which are actually two tin cans and a piece of rope, which, you know, I wonder I can't hear anything. So I do this for Dahl's Foods. There are 13 stores. I do it for Westside Auto Pros. There are multiple auto repair locations outside the state of Iowa that I do training for. And so one of the things that we work on is the response to customer seeking service. From an email standpoint, this is what the perfect response is. And let me back up and say that when I sent off these requests for service to all of these auto repair facilities, I did it under the auspices of Carol Hartog. Yeah, kind of, I don't know, fun made-up name, I don't know. Carol Hartog, and I created an email address for Carol. Carol is a dude, okay, which did catch a couple people by surprise when they called me to verify the service, and that led to some sort of fun phone calls. And so I gave them my actual cell phone number and this email address I had created, and the issue that I had that I sent to all of them. And typically when you send in all of the data on your car and these portals, there's an area for comments. And so in that comment area, I said, I have a 2001 Saturn and it has a bum tranny. Tranny's not working right. I need that replaced. Plus it also needs four new tires. Can you give me a quote on that? Love, Carol, or words to that effect. And so that's what I sent it. So that's the information they have. And so to me, the perfect email response back would read a little something like this. It would say, hi, Carol. Nice, warm greeting at the beginning. It's exactly how we would greet someone in person that we want to get to know. Hi, hey, how are you? Sure, it makes sense. Talk to them like you're in front of them in the emails. Next line, thank you for scheduling service with us. Sure, we express thanks. Thank you. We appreciate your business. And that sentence is separate. It's separate from the salutation at the beginning. It's separate from the third paragraph that I'm going to read. That gives it more weight. It singularizes it, makes it stand out. Next paragraph reads, we can definitely help you with your transmission problem and take care of your tire needs. We always say in training with the Westside gang, I can help you with that. Customer calls in, ring-a-ding-ding. My car ain't working, man. It's just standing there. I started and it just did. Laughs at me. He's laughing at me, man. And it stinks. And it's making this sound. And we can help you with that. The whole idea is to bring the customer down. It's kind of like we talk about it. You're really a 911 operator in a sense. It's not quite that way. I'll tell you, we have some people call in that are in pretty bad place with their car. So the first thing we want to do is we want to say emotionally, we're here to take care of you. We've got the problem under control. We're going to handle it. I want you to feel comfortable and understand that part of it. If you make that connection with a customer, immediately you have solved half of the problem. You're halfway home with them. So that is the purpose in the email of writing, we can help you with that, and we can take care of you. It's all about nurturing emotion. It's not about the details. We could give a rat's patootie how they solve it. We don't care. That's all why we want to bring it to somebody. If we knew, if we cared, we'd go out back, we'd grab a wrench and a hammer, we'd start hammering on the thing, and we'd solve it. And that sounds like a lot of my relatives, frankly. There are a lot of gearheads in my family. Sure, they like working on their cars. So, next sentence, which day would work best, Thursday or Friday morning? The reason for that is we want to give the customer options. We want to say we want to empower them from the scheduling process. And yet we want to keep it narrow enough to where it's where we can manage it as a company. All right, so therein, now, if the customer doesn't like those 2 days and times, they're going to tell us. We understand. And the one thing that we never do, that no company should ever do on the phone and an email, is say, hey, listen, whatever you want to bring it in, that's fine. We're open. We got plenty of time. We're not doing anything. We're just, we got our feet up. We're eating bonbons and we're watching soap operas. You just call any old time. We may not get to it right away because, you know, with our feet up, it may take us a while to get to the phone. No. You don't want to be the company that's not doing business. It's like you don't want to date the girl that nobody else wants to go out with. I mean, you want to date the pretty popular girl, right? Although I know everyone says, then why do the pretty popular ones ever get asked out? You know what? That's just not true. Ask a pretty popular girl sometime. So the next sentence, we have a free shuttle service and can take you to and from work while your car is being worked on, or we also have free pickup and delivery. Now, the purpose of that is, now, not all auto dealer service departments have those elements. But what we want to do is say, this is a little bit of marketing. It's a little bit, okay, we've got these things. If that's a problem, we want to sort of throw it out there before it becomes a problem or an objection. And what's nice about it, even if it isn't a problem, we're now marketing this. Oh, wow, you know, I don't need the shuttle service this time. Maybe I can use it next time. So that's the purpose of the next sentence. Then the next sentence says, let me know which day and time works best, either via email or you can call me directly at blah, 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 blah. That's taking ownership. In other words, it's not say, hey, call this number and we'll, and somebody will take care of you. It's that I, the person writing the email, am going to take control, ownership of solving your issue. It's not this big conglomerate company. It's this singular person inside that company who is taking ownership. That makes us feel good as a human being. Oh, wow, they're really taking ownership of that. Next sentence, separated in another paragraph. Thank you for choosing Westside Auto Pros. In this case, I'm using the company, but it could be Bill's Tire and Hammer. We look forward to seeing you this week. Sure, absolutely. We're all looking forward. Come on in. Yay-hoo. And then the signature line, which in this case would be Johnny Wright, Master Customer, Happy Care Empathetic Expert, Uber Mothering Specialist, Bob's Hammer and Tire. Done. So there it is. That's the perfect email response in Johnny's training world and reasons why all of that is written. One of the things that was surprising to me is that many of the email responses that I received, that Carol received, contained no signature. There was no ownership. There was no identifying the person, identifying themselves as working for the company that I had sent the email into. You know, and some email senders said, just wrote their first name. Okay, yeah, bring it on in, Hank. So again, and they're very busy people. I understand that. We all get that. It's all good. It has a sort of feel of amateurishness from the recipient, from on our end. All right. Now, the phone interaction, the call-in, mirrors the email that I just talked about that I broke down. It's, hey, how are you? This is Johnny. Thank you so much for sending in your request for service. I can definitely help you with that. What days? Does Thursday work? I've got a time there. Thursday or Friday? Okay, let's try to plug you in. Now, we do have free shuttle service. You can take your car to and from work. We can handle that. Or we can we also have free pickup and delivery. Oh, okay, sure. Now, okay, you've got that day? Sure. Awesome. Well, thank you for choosing us. Let me know if there's anything else I can help you with between now and then. Definitely look forward to seeing you when you come in. Ralph, use names. Use names. Knock down walls that exist between people that have never met each other. It's as important in person as it is in email as it is on any level. Okay, so there's the setup. And why is this so important? Well, one of the biggest complaints people have on the internet is auto repair. If you Google search auto repair scams or bad auto repair or whatever, you get over 6 million hits. Now, 20 years ago, that would have been really going, ooh, wow, 6 million. And today, you know, it's really nothing because there's billions and billions of things that can be hit on out on the internet. But it's a big number. People use, there are complaint websites galore. Many auto repair places have their own comment sheets that you can write in a little, you know, graph and place to input the data and send off, Dear Hank's Auto and Tire Kickers, I really hate the way you guys treated me and blah, blah, blah. So far, and I sent these requests last week on Monday the 27th and again on Friday the 31st. Here are the companies out of 29 Des Moines Auto Repair facilities who have not responded. Amoco on Hickman, Atchison Auto Works, All Pro Service Center, Big O Tire, Dewey Ford, and Firestone on Fluor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Got to use my toes. All right. So 6 out of 29, never heard nothing from them. Now, I can guarantee you, if they're listening this morning, or word gets back, they're going to say, we may check on that. Because how much business are you losing as a company? Because you're either your portal is screwed up or somebody on the human end is not looking at stuff. Yeah, it could be a real problem. Just some interesting responses. Beckley Automotive. Steve Beckley said, wrote back, Carol, I wouldn't be the one to replace a Saturn transmission. Thanks for asking, Steve Beckley, Beckley Automotive. And Steve is, we've had some correspondence since then. Again, Steve addresses the Saturn transmission issue, but not the tires issue. And this was somewhat common. It seemed like the tranny issue sort of stopped people in their tracks occasionally. Flat Tire wrote, Carol, would need to know the specific model of your Saturn to ensure total accuracy. Need the VIN number. Thank you. We look forward to giving you an answer when we get this information. And that's all fine, but it had no signature. It just said Flat Tire Center. And Jordan Flat, the owner, I know, of course, has a concern about that because he and I spoke a bit about that. Graham Tire on Merle Hay said, Carol, we'll need more info to give you an accurate quote. We can get close with some info if you'd like. Ask for the year, make, VIN number, engine size, build date, type of tranny. If I know the model, blah, 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 feel free to give me a call. Glad to help out. Jeff Chapman. And then there's no signature. And so, again, I'm sure Jeff works at Graham Tire, but without a signature, it looks a little, something's incomplete there. Tuffy in Clive. Here's what the email said. Here's all it said. And there's no capitalization here, and there's some spelling issues. Before I could give you a quote on a transmission, I need to know what kind of transmission it is, comma, I also need the tire size so I can give you the correct price. Space, space, space. Thanks, Ron. No period. Someone's in a hurry. They're writing it out quick. They want to get a response back. But there's an amateurish nature to that, and it needs a little friendly-atizing and a little capitalization work. Jeff from Midas was really good on the phone, and that's the Midas on Ingersoll. Rich at Midas, and Midas has a promise when you go into their portal. They say they'll get back to you within 1 hour. And so when I sent it into the portals of Midas and Ingersoll and at 86th, this little automated thing comes up, boop, says, we'll get back to you within the hour. Well, Jeff at Ingersoll did a good job of that. He did get back within the hour. Rich at Midas at 86th took 6 hours to email me back. But he was the only person out of all of these auto dealerships and auto repair places who called me after I'd missed my appointment, because I set up appointments throughout all of these, those that responded and so forth. I set up appointments. He was the only one who called back when I missed mine. And that is a big, big, big deal. Even my own auto repair place, Westside Auto Pros, yeah, we didn't do that. We'll talk about that in Tuesday trading. Daryl at Tires Plus on Merle Hay said, just bring it in. I thought they did a really nice job there. Just say, listen, just, you know, bring it in. We'll take care of it. We're gonna handle it. Didn't try to diagnose, just got to it. Charles Gabus Ford had a wonderful template for an automated response that was very friendly. And Gabus also mirrored Des Moines Imports, which, of course, they're part of the Gabus Auto Group. Hummel's Nissan sent 3 auto-generated emails, which were long and decorative and void of human touch. It's like no person actually saw that. 3 automated emails. And then the opposite of that was true with Cheryl at Carl Chevrolet. She sent a great email and said, hi, Carol, we'll be happy to try to help you with this request. I like that right there. For the transmission quote, we'll need to be just as close as we will not know for sure until the vehicle is seen in our service department. And for the tires, we just need to know what size, brand, and style you'd like, and then we'll be able to get you prices. Thanks for choosing Carl Chevrolet. We look forward to working with you. We'll be waiting for the tire info to get your quote. Sincerely, Cheryl. Awesome. Best phone call, Cottman Auto Care on Hickman Road. Troy was rock and roll. You're going to hear from Troy in just a minute. He said, hi, can I speak to Carol? Hey, this is Troy with Cottman. How are you doing tonight? He said, I understand you've got some issues with your tranny. Can you describe what's going on? He's diagnosing on the phone. He's pre-qualifying. He wants to know if they can handle it and do it. Told him what the problem was, made up a bunch of stuff. And he says, yeah, sure, go ahead. How about Friday morning? Would that work well for you? Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Great job. And then he says, a lot of the times it's the solenoid. It's a very common problem on those Saturns. He's trying to play. He says, hey, I got you. I got you, Carol. I'm going to take care of you. Don't you worry. Awesome. Rock star treatment. Did a great job. Fastest responder. Send it in at 3:36 on a Monday morning to Westside Auto, or in the afternoon to Westside Auto Pros. Got a response back, a call back at 3:39 p.m. 3 minutes. Average overall for most of the places was 2 hours. That's what I'm talking about. Nice job, Tina, on the front lines. That's what we train on. And she had a great phone call, too. Of course, I'm biased. Coming up, you're going to hear from Troy, the stud muffin of the phone responders from all 29 auto repair facilities. Also coming up later on, Bob Jones, R&J. He'll talk a little bit about mobile homes and how they've gotten better over time as far as the construction. Bruce Anderson, also a good friend of the show from the Iowa Auto Dealers Association. We'll talk about customer service in the auto industry, all that and much more. When we return, you are listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT.
Asked the girl what she wanted to be. She said, baby, can't you see? I want to be famous, a star of the screen. But you can do something in between. Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star.
Keep it away as you're rolling down the highway. The Unsecret Shopper Radio Show rolls on a very chilly Saturday morning, 8:23 now. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Johnny Wright. That was one of the first Beatles songs that I fell in love with as a youngster. And then I got the cassette, The Best of the Beatles, and it was the anthology. And you remember the album cover. One was blue, and it was with the Beatles looking over a balcony of a hotel. Or no, it wasn't a hotel. It was a studios. And then there was the later photo of the Beatles in those same positions, and I believe the cover was red in the frame picture. Remember that? Yes. It was it was just amazing. And there was I think it was a cassette that somebody had, and I didn't know, really was into the Beatles at all, and I heard that song, wow, I wonder if anybody knows about these guys, because they are good. Whether you're driving or not, you're going to face some snow, but not today, so get a lot of driving in today, maybe even unnecessary driving of your car. Sunshine, 17 is the high temperature. 5 tonight on the overnight. Snow chances tomorrow. We start out at 20%, and then it's about 120% Monday and Tuesday. Total accumulations by the end of Tuesday evening, 4 to 8 inches right now. Dry as mommy's meatloaf. We're at 10 degrees. And the one of the unsung and now sung heroes of the auto repair review of website portal scheduling, if I can, these are very long, drawn out, descriptive, was Troy from Cottman Auto Care. Did a fine job on the phone. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Troy.
Good morning, John.
Hey, Troy, how did you get into the automotive repair industry? Did you grow up as a kid tinkering around trying to take the tires off your parents' car and all that goop?
That's exactly pretty much how it really happened. Got in doing tires.
Oh, is that right? Are you part of an automotive family? Were you just sort of raised around that?
No, I'm not really. I like cars since I was a kid.
You found that you had a natural affinity for it.
Yeah, I just love working on cars.
So were you the kid that everybody around the neighborhood said, "Hey, you know what? The car's not running right, Matilda. Let's go over and see that Troy. He can probably fix it."
That's true. I worked on a lot of cars when he was in school.
Now, where are you from originally, Troy?
I'm originally from Des Moines here.
Okay, very good. When did you know that you could actually make money doing it?
When I started selling used tires down in Garland, Texas.
You were down in Texas for a bit.
Yeah, for 18 years.
Wow, that's a long bit. Hey, listen, I've lived down in Dallas myself for 3 years. I've got to ask, why did you come back?
Family. Come back to Des Moines for family.
Absolutely. I understand. Very good. Well, the thing that impressed me about you, Troy, and of course I came upon you as I was secret shopping auto repair shops throughout Des Moines through their portals, through their website portals. And I've done this before actually in person sometime back, but Common Auto Care was not part of that particular review. I think that was back last year in around June or so. But the thing that impressed me about you, Troy, was that you were just so personable on the phone, and you engaged me and you used my name in the conversation. Is this part of, do you have customer service training with Common Automotive?
No, we didn't. I just like talking to people, and, you know, I just figure the friendlier you are, the more business you'll get.
Well, hey, listen, you'd be surprised at how many people don't actually understand that connection, Troy.
Right. Well, I just figure every phone call is an opportunity, you know, whether it's the tire repair or a transmission. You just got to go after all of them.
How long have you been with Common Auto Care?
8 years.
Wow. And I'm figuring Dan Harrington, the owner, pretty much digs you, doesn't he?
What's that?
I'm figuring that Dan really likes you a lot.
Yeah, he come hunted me down. He heard good things about me when I was in the tire business here in Des Moines, and he called me up and offered me a job, and I took it 8 years ago.
And the rest is history. Hey, yeah. You're great, and I was talking to Dan a little bit about this off mic here earlier. And he was talking about that the company sort of has some sort of mandated things. They want you to answer the phone a certain way. They want you to do things a certain way from a customer service aspect. And Dan's comment was that he wants to give you guys freedom to do it your way. And tell me, how important is that?
Oh, it's real important. Actually, corporate doesn't like me too much because I don't do it their way. I get yelled at quite a bit from the corporate office up in Pennsylvania because I just don't like it. You know, it's just they have these tracks we're supposed to follow, and I'm just not very comfortable with it.
And so you've learned over the years that if you're a friendly person, you're a kind person, and if you engage people from that aspect, that the rest of it will figure itself out.
It does. It really does.
Well, I tell you what, I'm sort of torn now. You got to understand, Troy, because I am kind of that corporate cat. That is sort of the thing I do that I manage with other people as far as I get them to ask them to say it a certain way and everything else. But you really bring up the point, and that is this, that you cannot teach someone to be happy.
That's very true. Yeah, I like to do it. Just be yourself.
Well,
it seems to work.
Absolutely. Well, you used my name in the conversation. You asked me how I was doing. Very simple little things. You asked me to describe what was going on with the car, and of course, I was Carol Hartog in your mind at that time, and I had the Saturn. Was there any part of our conversation that you sort of said this doesn't really make any sense, or hey, I wonder if this cat is for real or anything?
No, not at all. When you described what the Saturn was doing, it was a real common problem. They have known problems with the solenoid valve body block on them.
Oh, well, that's very interesting because I just sort of made something up. So I, yeah. Wow, I you know
that was the most common problem on a Saturn is the solenoids.
Wow,
said it wasn't shifting. So.
Well, a broken clock is right twice a day, as they say. I guess I was right in that case, Troy. Well, hey, listen, I want to have people coming in there to see you at Cotman Auto Carrier at 6800 Hickman Road. And, Troy, do you in Windsor Heights? Now, do you have coworkers, folks, that also do what you do there?
Do I have what, sir?
Do you have other people that do what you do? Do you have other service advisors, or are you kind of the only cat?
No, I'm a one-man show here.
Well, I tell you what, you may be just one guy, but it feels like it's hundreds of people working there because of your joy and your happiness and the way you engage me. And I just I can't thank you enough, Troy, for such a great job. You can't be thanked enough.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and I appreciate it.
That's Troy from Cotman Auto Care, 6800 Hickman Road in Windsor Heights. Great guy. Fantastic job. Stop in there. Ask for Troy. Absolutely. 8:30. At the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. We're going to switch gears. Sure, if I could use that there pun. Coming up, you hear from Bob Jones, owner of R&J Home Center. And over the past 2 weeks, we've read a lot about the dangers of mobile homes. Two horrible tragedies, the most recent up in northeastern Iowa, which took the lives of three people. How safe are mobile homes? I grew up in one, wrote a blog post about it. I'll talk a little bit about that coming up next in a conversation with Bob right here at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Hope you got that bright smile on your puss and a song in your heart this morning. The Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Yeah, I call it the Christmas effect. You know, happy holidays and all that. We feel joyous, and then we hit January, and then can we stay in that happy place? And I was in one of my doll stores. Listen to me. I was in one of the doll stores that I do training at yesterday, right before the training, and I was looking at the employees' faces, and I wasn't seeing a lot of these things that Nat King Cole's singing about here right now. And so in our training session, we get together, large group, great people, and I said, boy, I got a lot of frowny brownies. And of course, and I told a few jokes and the frowns remained, but anyway, I have to work on my jokes. 8:32 now, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Coming up later on the program, we'll hear from Bruce Anderson, the Iowa Auto Dealers Association, on customer service in the auto repair industry, as well as the auto sales industry, and then some responses from some of the folks who got secret shopped. I'll read some of those emails. Right now, though, unfortunate tragedies seem to, it's funny how plane crashes occur in numbers. One will happen, and then the next day another will happen. Well, a slew of mobile home fires over the holidays, around that time, over a two-week period, happened sort of not exactly back-to-back, but they were part also framed by a two-part story in the Des Moines Register about mobile homes. And it was particularly interesting, all these things going on, and it made me remember and bring back memories of living in a trailer. Not a manufactured home, not a modular home, just a beater of a trailer that was made sometime in the early 60s. And my mother and I lived in that trailer, first of all, in Melray Trailer Court, which is now a retirement community south of Des Moines Area Community College in Ankeny. We lived in that trailer up until about 1968-69, at which point her and I, along with my grandmother, her mother, and two other children of my grandmother's, moved to Cambridge and bought a section of land about 5/8 of an acre. And my grandmother had a trailer. Well, it was an old beater. We actually got her hand-me-down trailer, my mother and I, and my grandmother bought a big old double-wide. And we put, yeah, it was kind of hee-haw-ish. It was kind of redneck theater, to be honest, back in those trailers and property. Those people on either side of us who lived in actual legitimate housing were just, I don't know, they were running to get there. They're calling the police. I don't know. Didn't call them fast enough because we got everything moved in. But the living in under those conditions, and I document that in detail at my blog. If you go to theunsecretshopper.com, sort of my trip down memory lane of growing up with mice and vermin and cold and holes in the ceiling, and it really was no way to grow up. But of course, I was a kid. I didn't really know any better. But the great news is that manufacturing, and one of these people move into trailers, mobile homes, manufactured homes, modular homes, because it is an affordable way for them to have their dream home. And so in that regard, it's pretty amazing. And mobile home manufacturing, now called manufactured homes or modular homes, and the distinction has come a long way. And one of the people who has seen much of that transformation is Bob Jones. He is the owner of R&J Home Center on Army Post Road. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm doing just great. Thank you. Bob, when did you get into the manufactured home sales industry? When did that sort of happen for you?
I started in November 1st of 1970.
You're old school, man. Back in the day. So what got you into the industry?
Well, I was a banker prior to that, and the people who was had a company called F&J Home Center was doing business with us, and they asked me if I would come out and be a salesman for them. So in November of 70, I came to work selling mobile homes. Actually, we were selling trailers back in those days.
Sure, sure. Now, did you grow up in a trailer? Did you have any experience with trailers at that time?
No, other than just financing them. I actually came from the farm down in southern Iowa.
Oh, very good. So you're a farm boy. You come up and a farm boy makes good, as they say.
Well, we've tried.
So when did R&J Home Center, now, did you start that company?
Yes, I started R&J Homes in 1982. When the gentleman I was working for elected to retire, and he had a couple mobile home parks, so he just decided to get out of the retail sales business, and that's when I started my business.
Well, the tons of misconception, I think, about the mobile home, manufactured home, modular home, the difference in those. But back in the day, back in when I grew up in a mobile home, a trailer was really a trailer. There wasn't really the distinction, was there?
No, it was when I first started in 70, they actually were called trailers. Then in 1976, the government put the HUD started taking care of doing the regulations on manufactured homes. And actually in 1976 is when they became manufactured homes, and they did a lot of getting all the quality more closely associated with all the different manufacturers throughout the country.
Sure, and so they created, and I know that, and I remember someone telling me when I was much older and my mother was still living in the trailer we grew up in, that her trailer, which was built, I believe, our trailer was built in 1960, I believe, was in no way going to be able to stand up to a home made after 1976 because the laws had completely changed.
Well, there's still a lot of houses that exist that were built back in the 60s, but people that have taken care of them still have a home that keeps them warm and dry.
Yes, absolutely. And there is some difference in wiring. Is that correct? For example, aluminum wiring was sort of the what was used in the 60s, and then it changed right to copper. Or is that one of the transitions?
That's correct. One of the transitions was copper wiring. The other transition was that we had all the furnace and water heater compartments were lined with sheetrock. We were still building a panelized house with paneling, wood paneling, but they were putting sheetrock around the furnaces and water heater compartments starting in about 1976.
And you talk about upkeep, and I think that's an important component. There have been a sort of series of stories in the Des Moines Register and the tragedy up in northeastern Iowa where some folks were killed in a trailer.
Sure.
At that time. And it always brings focus back, as you know, back on the industry itself. When you see those kinds of stories and you see sort of the way they're presented, what runs through your mind?
Well, I'm sure that the people that were living in those was living in all that they could afford, and whether it was an electrical fire, there was a home also that burnt down a block in Iowa about the week before.
Right.
And you know, one of the things they brought up on that house was that there was six or seven space heaters in there with electric cords running all over the ground or all over the floors.
Right.
You know, that's probably an overheating of some circuits, which caused an electric fire there. I haven't followed the one in northeast Iowa as much as I did that one because I actually come from Ringgold County.
Oh, I gotcha. Sure. And it you really bring up the great point. If people, and first of all, whether it's a manufactured home or a trailer or a modular home, those kinds of homes allow people who could otherwise never afford to live in a, quote, home to be able to afford it.
That's correct.
But if you start running three heaters and four heaters through a little dinky outlet and a drop cord from Target, whether you're living in a wood house or a metal trailer, you're probably, I mean, I hate to say that, I'm not suggesting they brought it on, but in some cases you're creating a dangerous scenario.
Well, you are, whether you're in a site-built house or a mobile home. Absolutely.
My guest this morning is Bob Jones. He is the owner of R&J Home Center at 2101 East Army Post Road on 1350 KRNT. So how is the modular, or now you sell manufactured homes, or tell me how you distinguish?
Okay, what we sell are both manufactured homes and modular homes. The difference between the two is the manufactured home falls under the HUD auspices. The modular home is all approved by the state of Iowa or whatever state they're going to, and they're built more to the same code as the site-built house. 2x10 floor joists, 2x6 sidewalls. The HUD house is a home that you can either put out in the country on piers, or you can go into a mobile home park. you can redesign that house with a different type of frame and have it put over a basement. But most all of your modular product goes over basements or crawl spaces.
And there's a lot of laws in cities. I recall because we moved to the small town of Cambridge in the late 60s with our, at the time, were trailers, and we were able, and we left the trailers and we left the wheels on. I mean, we were kind of rednecking it, to be honest with you, Bob. We just left the wheels on. But today, a lot of cities have ordinances which say you can't necessarily park a mobile home on a plot of land in the city limits, or if you do, you've got to take the wheels off, put on a foundation. Is that correct?
Well, you're partially correct. What you can do is, as long as you put in most of the cities and municipalities are requiring that you have a minimum of 20-foot width, which then puts you in a double-wide width, okay? So they don't allow you very little to put in single-wides in very few of the small communities. But as long as you put in piers, which are frost piers that go down to the ground 42 inches and 24 inches around, if you put them in according to the manufacturer's suggested setup, most of the cities and counties will allow you to do that. For an example, we just put one at 47th and Amick here in Des Moines last summer. And it's a home that's sitting on piers with a concrete board skirting around it. Mm-hmm. And it passed all the city specifications that was required.
Well, I know that particularly with modular homes or whatever, I know that they are just some I've seen are just fantastic. I mean, they're beautiful, and the prices are seem substantially lower than homes which are the traditional wood frame homes which we expect. So I think it's a great service that you and other sellers and builders provide for people who otherwise simply could not afford to live in a home and have a home. How do people get a hold of you, Bob, if they want to know more about what you do and what you sell?
Well, our sales lot's at 2101 East Army Post Road, and our telephone number is 285-0660. We're open from 8 in the morning till 5 in the evening, Monday through Saturday.
Bob Jones, owner of R&J Home Center on 1350 KRNT. There you go. Inexpensive housing and much safer than the old days. You can go to Growing Up Trailer Trash. If you Google search that, you can read about my story of growing up in a trailer. It's changed a lot since then. 844 now. Coming up, one man who has not changed is Bruce Anderson. He's still genius, frankly, when it comes to the auto industry. He's a general counsel of the Iowa Auto Dealers Association. He joins us next to talk about customer service in the auto industry, and we'll get some responses. I'll read to you from some folks who wrote back in response to the auto repair industry review that I wrote last week. All that and much more here at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Late great Eddie Rabbit on 1350 KRNT. 847, thank you for tuning in. My name is Johnny Wright. I remember being at Vets Auditorium at the Boys High School Basketball Tournament. Our band was playing. I think it maybe was the girls. Anyway, we're getting there for a rehearsal, and out on the court were cheerleaders. And they were performing to this song, the original Drive in My Life. Well, that was a live version on CMT. And I remember I was watching them do their thing, and I had never seen girls move like that before. And it really left with me a lifetime love of that song. A man who probably cannot move that way is Bruce Anderson. He is a general counsel of the Iowa Auto Dealers Association, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Johnny. How are you?
Bruce, I'm fantastic. Thank you so much, and thank you for joining us once again on the program. You are the automotive expert, Bruce. I don't know if you know that. For this radio program, you're sort of the voice of the auto industry for us, and I've been hearing from a lot of voices after the Secret Shopper review of the auto repair shops and auto dealer portals specifically, but before we get to that, tell people a little bit about, who don't know, the IADA, the Iowa Auto Dealers Association, as a general counsel. What exactly do you do for the organization?
Well, I am the really the chief compliance officer, with the exception perhaps of a home purchase. A car purchase is really the most heavily regulated and document-rich transaction most people ever get involved in. And on behalf of Iowa's new and used motor vehicle dealers, I'm the guy who writes the forms, keeps them up to date on regulatory legal changes, etc.
And from the standpoint of customer service, I know that the IADA is a resource to some extent for auto dealers. Is that correct?
It is. We do trainings on customer service issues. That is actually a regulated area. Iowa has a statute that specifically addresses customer service satisfaction surveys, and how and whether automobile manufacturers can use them to reward or punish automobile dealers. So it's a very, very important area to car dealers.
So in other words, if the big cheese, say Chrysler, says we're not getting enough customer satisfaction cards back with a high enough score from your dealership, we're going to reduce the number of cars we're sending you by 10%, or I don't know. Is that what you mean by punishing the local guy?
Yeah, they typically don't do it on product allocation, but they find other ways, marketing support, and other ways to give car dealers incentives to get good scores.
I love the way, you know, if only my grandmother, when I was a child, would have said, listen, this is an incentive for you to do better next time. Maybe the spanking would have felt a little better, Bruce.
I think.
So does any of that, now that's about the selling of cars, does any of that dovetail into the service of those automobiles?
It does. They used to call that the back operation. But it is really the front of the operation. Typically, in most car dealerships, you see that customer once at the front end when you sell, but you're going to see them repeatedly for service, maintenance, repair, recall. So that service department needs to be your front door, and customer satisfaction is absolutely measured and vital in that department too.
And so, what is the matrix that auto dealers use to measure that? I mean, I'm sure there's a wide variety. Is it sending in a written form? Is it the verbal? Is it a toll-free number to call? What are the different areas?
Yeah, every manufacturer does it a little bit differently, but there are both hard snail mail surveys and email-based surveys that. When you're dealing with a franchise new car dealer's service department, they are tied into the factory, literally tied into they're two separate business operations, the local dealer and the manufacturer, but they are intimately tied together electronically. So the factory knows when you've been in to get service, to get repair, to get a recall fixed. That information goes out, and more often than not, it's followed up by either a mailed survey or an emailed survey to the customer.
Bruce, it 50 years ago, even 30 years ago, that was one of the few ways that customers had to sort of express both their gratitude and their concerns over issues with their auto dealer or anyone else. Today, it's sort of much of it is really out of the control of the auto dealers and the IADA and everyone else, because there's this thing called the internet in which people feel, do they feel like they can really kind of go around all that?
Well, to a certain extent, they can. I think auto dealers are, especially the good ones, are awake to the fact that almost every transaction begins on the internet. That's where people shop.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they do at least their window shopping. So they're going to start there. So if that's how and where they want to communicate, the dealer and repair facility needs to be there, engaging them there.
My guest this morning is Bruce Anderson. He's a general counsel for the Iowa Auto Dealers Association on 1350 KRNT. What expectation do the auto, and I know it's sort of a straw man of a question, Bruce, but what expectation do the manufacturers themselves have from a customer service standpoint or customer satisfaction standpoint? What are some of the components of a good interaction that they look for?
Well, and of course, I work for the dealers. I don't work for the manufacturers.
Understood. From the dealer's aspect, from what you see.
There's a little bit of a disconnect there because that survey is coming from the manufacturer and is not initiated by the dealer. But what they're looking for is just overall experience. And it seems to me there's both two components to that. And I don't want to diminish one over the other, but the first one is that first impression. How do they make you feel? Did you leave happy? And then the second one is really a quality component. Did your problem get resolved? Was the repair done, and was it done to your satisfaction?
And so when those sorts of surveys, whether it's a hard copy or it's a form or it's a number to call, leave your comments or whatever, when those surveys get back to the manufacturer, the manufacturer then takes that information, collates it, and sends it off to the local dealer. I assume the good when the manufacturers are playing good boy or good cop, that they simply say, "Hey, review this. This is for you to look at. We want you to, you know, help improve what you do. Here's what you're doing great." And your job is to make sure that they don't take those surveys and use them to the local dealer's demise.
Exactly. But we try to be proactive about that, and many dealers and a lot of the good ones will get in front of that, and customers should know this. By getting in front of it, I mean, they can engage the customer before the survey comes to say, if you didn't have a five-star experience with us, talk with me now about it. Let's fix the problem before you get the survey, because I can assure you those that both the manufacturer and the dealer wants it to be a five-star, 10-rated type of experience. So if you're not having that kind of experience, it's the customer has effectively some leverage to say, "Hey, let's fix this problem. I don't want to have to give you a 1 or a 2 star on my survey. What can you do to make me happy?"
Well, Bruce, I as you know, I did customer service training and secret shopping and continue to do it for the Gabus Auto Group, Charles Gabus Ford, Des Moines Imports, and Toyota of Des Moines. And my sense is that that is a rarity, that the local dealer, it isn't necessarily very common that the local dealer comes in and sort of watchdogs themselves and tries to make themselves better to the extent that, say, Gabus Auto Group has with my company, the Biosphere. Is that your experience?
I think they're very, very tuned in to the customer experience, most dealers in general. Whether or not they're using a secret shopper experience in order to gauge and train, I don't know. Now, as franchise dealers, every manufacturer will have and insist that the dealer complete customer service training. Whether they're using a secret shopper component is... You're right, probably a little unusual.
Bruce Anderson, Iowa Auto Dealers Association General Counsel, 1350 KRNT. Some responses from the Auto Dealer and Auto Repair Facility Review, Secret Shop Review from last week. This from Scott Politi says, "Thank you for posting the review. Legitimate feedback is important to our business and dictates how we change our processes and customer interactions. Our online service scheduling leaves much to be desired, and it's something we will be adding in the next 12 months. Not timely, but I won't launch it until it is flawless. Thank you for thinking of Stivers. Regards, Scott Polite, Stivers Ford, Lincoln. Class guy, wants to get it right." Another response: "Johnny, I very much appreciate you providing me with this incredible information. It is very interesting and enlightening. I've made a copy, made notes of my own on where we can improve, and commented on the ones that did very well and what we can work on to get there. This will be distributed to all 8 of my advisors and receptionists. I was impressed, to say the least, with Tina's performance at Westside Auto Pros. Job well done." Ron Short, service manager, Toyota of Des Moines. And you talk about some folks who do it well already. And they do crank them. I think, what did Ron say, they have 200 service that they do a day or some crazy thing? Unbelievable. Johnny, Thank you for the input. I agree with your review of my response to your secret shopping of our website, Jordan Flatt, President, Flatt Tire Centers. Mr. Wright, this is the first time I have been secret shopped and I'm aware of. Well, that's why it's secret. Thank you for directing me to the website. You did an amazing amount of work to produce this and you presented it well. I was in a hurry to dispatch your car and apparently it showed. There is a better way to handle these things and I will work it out. Thank you again, Steve Beckley, President, Beckley Imports. Hi, Johnny. I really appreciated your input and knowledge. The study was informative and helpful. Please let me know if I can help you in the future. I will work on my spell check. Thanks again, Vic M. at Tuffy on Grand. And Cheryl Schoof, I hope sure I'm pronouncing that right, at Carol Chevrolet, says, "Good morning, Carol," in quotation marks. She says, "Sure glad I always take the time to personally address and answer each and every email that comes into Carol Chevrolet service. Just goes to show you just never know who really might be on the other end of cyberspace. This has been a growing challenge as we just become increasingly busier all the time, and every year I find myself saying that this was the busiest holiday season. I am so very thankful for the job security. Thank you for your complimentary review of my service to you. I was so proud to be praised by you among all of the competition out there. It speaks volumes to my superiors, and a hardworking gal can always use a little way to go to start her day. Thank you so much. Have a great day and weekend." That is Cheryl, administrative assistant at Carl Chevrolet. Lots of good stories, Troy and Cheryl and other folks doing a wonderful job on the just super hardworking folks who get this stuff scheduled and get our cars repaired, get them back to us. We're so impatient. We want it now. We hate going without. I think auto repair is like computer repair. We want it back now. And somebody doing a great job out there. TheUnSecretShopper.com. You can read all about it. Have a fantastic weekend.